You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. A Wisconsin veteran has turned her story of sexual assault and those of other survivors into a play addressing military sexual trauma. That play will be staged in San Diego this weekend.
Central Time executive producer Judith Sears Poisson spoke with Rachel Carter earlier this week, and we'd like to let listeners know that this may not be appropriate for young or sensitive listeners.
I wanted to start with asking what first drew you to serve in the military.
Sure. I came from an international upbringing. My mother and her side of the family is from England. And when I was younger, I was very close to my grandfather on my mother's side. But unfortunately, when I was 8, he passed away, and I took it very, very, very hard as a child. Later on, when I turned 16, my dad said, you know, I want to take you over to our safety deposit box at the bank. When we got there, he got the box open. He handed me this envelope that was obviously quite a few years old, and you know, and it had my name on it. And when I opened it up, there was this 12-page letter to me that was done on a typewriter from my grandfather when I was just 1 year old, about his experiences in World War II as a gunner for the British Army. And it was just this kind of magical letter that, you know, he had, I actually found out a couple years ago, he had never talked about the war to anybody else but me. Going back to when I was 16, it was just, you know, it was just something, well, wow, you know, I could do this. I could join the military. And it was, for me, it was a way to feel connected to him. So that is why I decided that I wanted to join.
And so you joined, but what happened to you in 2004?
Well, when I got to advanced individual training, so it's when you've moved on from basic training and you get trained in your MOS, your job. And for me, that was broadcast journalism. I was sexually assaulted by another service member. I didn't report it right away because I didn't think that anybody would believe me. You know, I just got done with basic training, so I got trained in hand-to-hand combat and everything else. You know, I just didn't think anybody would believe me that it had happened. But after, you know, a month or two of, you know, being in the same barracks building, going to, you know, chow hall, seeing them at, you know, the school, it just got to be too much that I decided to report, which unfortunately was probably one of the worst decisions that of my life. It was victim blaming, hours over numerous days, just putting it all on me as if it was all my fault, and then I was forced to drop the charges. So it was a very unsettling and unfortunate incident that just steered me off from this dream and this hope that I had.
And under what circumstances did you then leave the military?
So when I was being, you know, when I was going through this investigative process, you know, they told me that if I wanted to continue, you know, and try to press charges, that I would have to go through a lie detector test. And if it was determined that I was lying, which they were very certain I was, then in fact I would be charged and, you know, have to, you know, deal with being kicked out of the military and, you know, that sort of thing. But they said, you know, if you drop the charges, this will just go away. You can go to your first duty station. You know, and they just kept putting the pressure on for me to do that. And I thought, okay, you know, maybe I can move past this. Maybe this is just, you know, a bad situation, but I can get out of it. So I dropped the charges. But unfortunately, then I was written up for fraternization, which followed me on my record. But I was just like, okay, you know, I'll get away from my IT. I'll get to my first duty station. It'll be fine. I'll just try to get help and move on. And I really wanted to be a broadcast journalist. I really wanted to honor my grandfather's memory. It meant a lot to me. So I was really excited when I got my assignment to South Korea. But unfortunately, what they did was they labeled me as having a personality disorder and also being bipolar. So they didn't want to admit that I had been assaulted. They wanted to try to say that it was all me. But I really wanted to push through it. I really wanted to try to be in the military. I actually ended up being a really good broadcaster. But then things kind of fell apart when my rapist ended up getting stationed in Korea. And I had a sergeant major who was very supportive, but my sergeant, you know, right above me was not, and would say that, you know, I should just get over it and that I was a poor soldier, and it just called me names and humiliate me. And it just got to the point where I told my sergeant major that I couldn't do this anymore, that I was just losing respect for the uniform. And luckily, you know, he understood what I was going through and was just seeing how I was just being failed in so many ways that he helped me get out on an honorable discharge.
We're talking with Rachel Carter. She's an Army veteran and the author of the play Speaking Out, Why I Stand, which deals with the topic of military sexual trauma. And Rachel, let's fast forward several years. How did you decide to use theater to tell your story and that of other victims and survivors of military sexual trauma?
So, I mean, for 6 years, I didn't even realize that I was a veteran. I was told I wasn't, and I was made to think that I was the only one that this had happened to, that it was my fault, and that, you know, that their sexual assault wasn't a problem in the military. And it wasn't until I came across this documentary called The Invisible War that I realized, whoa, I'm not the only one. And whoa, this has been going on for a really long time. And what the heck? Nobody is talking about it. No, nothing is getting done. And it was a really big wake-up call for me where I felt relieved and angry and sad and all these emotions at the same time. And I came across Service Women's Action Network, and the next year they were having a summit in D.C. And when I got out there, that was the first time I had ever talked to another survivor. And I was hearing all these stories, and it was just mind-boggling how no one was talking about it, how our voices weren't being heard. And I just thought to myself, why don't we try to get stories together in a theater project? Kind of like, you know, just putting these monologues together and getting it up on the stage for people to come and listen to, because I think art is just a great way to get messages across, especially with social justice.
And you talk about being able to talk with other survivors, but I was really struck that not everyone does survive this experience. I'm thinking especially of Carrie Noling. Can you tell us her story?
Unfortunately, Carrie was sexually assaulted in the military and, you know, was forced on medication, discharged from the military. Her father, Gary, didn't know why she was coming home. He was just really happy that she was coming home and was excited to go pick her up. And 5 days after she came home, she was dead. And it wasn't until after that that he went through her journals and found out that she had been raped, that she had been blamed, that she had been victimized, kicked out of the military. And it's just a really sad story that unfortunately is not uncommon, that there are a lot of sexual assault victims out there that are being punished and we're losing them.
Mm-hmm. And we should also note that this is not just something that happens to women.
No.
Men are also victims.
Men are also victims. And, of course, there's this myth that it's only homosexual men that are getting assaulted. It does not matter what a victim's sexuality or gender is. Sexual assault happens to anyone.
Let's listen to a short clip from the play.
He grabbed me by the ankles, pulled me over the ditch by the army barracks, by the installation fence. I could hear the soldiers coming back to their rooms. I was paralyzed. I always thought I would fight. Fend him off with car keys stuck between my fingers. I looked up at the tree branches. My watch said it was 21:47. That was the last time I prayed to God.
Whose story is that we just heard a part of?
So that is a story from a survivor who was assaulted. She was just going with somebody she didn't really know too well, but just wanted to go and have a cigarette and have a little drink and hang out. And the next thing you know, she got assaulted, and she just couldn't believe it. When you join the military, you are taught from day one that the people around you are your family, that even if you don't know them that well, they're wearing a uniform, you're supposed to have their back, and they're supposed to have your back. You don't think that this sort of thing is going to happen.
And this weekend, your play, Speaking Out, Why I Stand, is going to be performed in San Diego. And San Diego has a large military presence. Does that give the performance added significance for you?
I think so. I have actually worked a lot with different military bases on helping train service members and also sexual assault coordinators on military sexual trauma and the long-term effects. The great thing about this theater project that I really like is these are all true stories and poems. These are their stories.
Mm-hmm. And Rachel, as we wrap up, have you seen any progress on how the military deals with sexual assault since your own experience now more than 10 years ago?
Now there's sexual assault programs. They're not perfect, but when I was in, there was nothing. There was no sexual assault response coordinators. There was no programs like there are now. I will say since start of this project and working, you know, with sexual assault response coordinators, there are definitely a lot more supportive people. And I think there is hope that there's progress to be made and that things will change. It just takes time.
Rachel, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Rachel Carter is an Army veteran and the author of the play Speaking Out, Why I Stand, which deals with military sexual trauma. She spoke with Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson earlier this week.